This is the City of Sydney's Oral History Program. This is an interview with Mrs. Gwen Cordner. It's taking place at her home in St. Ives. The date is the 23rd of the 3rd, 2007. The project is the Meals on Wheels Oral History Project, which is being conducted through the City of Sydney's History Program. And the interviewer is Margot Beasley. So, Gwen, I'm interviewing you because you've had a very long association with Meals on Wheels because of a particular organisation that you're a member of. Can you tell me about that organisation?
Yes, that's correct. The organisation is called Old Grammarians, and they are all former students of the Melbourne Girls Grammar School, and they have an old girls group up here in Sydney. They've all moved up here for one reason or another, husbands work here or whatever. And originally, one of our members attended a meeting at the Sydney Town Hall where a speaker, I think she was a social worker, and I think her name was Miss Bowen, gave the put forward the idea of this service, Meals on Wheels service, delivered to people in the area who were for some reason or other unable to look after themselves properly, didn't have family or friends to maybe shop for them. They may be recovering from an operation. For some reason or other, you know, they needed help. So,
so what was the name of the woman who was the old grammarian who went to the meeting?
Her name was Jean Goulston. Now, she has since died because she would, you know, be about 90 now, I suppose. But she went. She was a student at Melbourne Girls Grammar School. She was actually the daughter of a rabbi. She obviously was interested in, you know, social benefits, services to other people. So she invited the lady who was speaking at the town hall to come to one of our meetings, the old girls' meetings, and then Miss Bowen, you know, explained it all to them. And they became interested, and they thought that was a good way of, just helping, doing something for the people in the area who were, you know, needing help. And instead of them just having social meetings, you know, lunches and...
The old grammarians.
Yes, they thought that they'd like to do this too. So they actually started, I think, probably right from the beginning. I think Miller's Point was about the first centre to operate Meals on Wheels services.
Possibly, although they did operate out of the Sydney Town Hall for quite a long time.
Well, one of the older members who has been involved longer than me, because I only moved to Sydney in 1970, she said that she thought that the meals actually came from the town hall and somehow were delivered to the centre in Miller's Point, and then from there distributed to the clients, if you like, around. Originally it was Woolloomooloo and Miller's Point areas. Subsequently the area sort of widened to Chippendale, Ultimo. Now it's King's Cross, Darling Point, Potts Point. And so it does cover a wide area, but I think other centres now deliver to some of those areas that we might have done in the past. But I haven't got any exact information about that.
No, that's fine. Mm. I'm really rather interested in your personal experiences. So you came to Sydney in 1970 from Melbourne.
I did, yes.
And what was the reason for that?
My husband was coming up here to work. Mm. And I had been doing Meals on Wheels in Melbourne.
Oh, had you?
Yes.
For which particular council?
From Malvern City Council. And I can't remember how long I'd been doing it, but I know my youngest child, who's now turning 44 this year, I used to take him with me. I just went by myself, drove and delivered the meals. And
So you didn't have a helper?
No, I didn't. Some people might have, I'm not sure, but I just used to do it by myself. Jeff was about three at the time, so he's, it's that long ago. So I think actually they started in Melbourne before they started in Sydney, in fact. Well, I'm not sure about that.
I think that might be correct. So when you were delivering in Melbourne, what kind of meals were they? Were they pre-packaged meals?
Oh, now you're asking me.
Well, I'm just wondering how you would have managed
that. No, I'm sure. I don't think they were pre-packaged. And I'm afraid that it's so long ago, I just can't be absolutely sure about that.
I was just wondering about how you managed on your own.
Yes.
Because I know...
They must have been meals that I just took in and didn't have to... serve out or anything, I think, yes. But to be honest, I just can't, my memory isn't good enough to go back that far.
That's fine.
But up here, originally the meals, we did have to serve them out in the homes. The soup that came in big urns and even the meat and veg, I think, originally.
That you would carry them in vats.
I don't remember serving out meat and vegetables. I remember taking the soup urns, but then I didn't start till a bit after 1970. Probably might have even been beginning of 72. so I can't be sure what happened from the start. But I believe they came from the town hall and in the centre itself at Miller's Point, they used to serve. According to one of the women I spoke to recently, she thought, 45 to 50 people in two sittings. Around about came into the centre for their meals.
So that was a similar service, but the people themselves came to the centre to dine.
Yes, they still do, some, but not very many these days. Mm. With our group, they used to... set up the tables in the centre and help serve the meals, and some others went out in their own cars and delivered to people who couldn't get into the centre.
So Meals on Wheels, in fact, using that description, is rather narrows what you did, because in fact you did other things as well as drive around in cars and deliver meals.
Yes, but that was the main part of it, really, because it's to serve people who couldn't, get out and come into the centre to get their meals. So really, some of the people, didn't even get out of their homes or apartments at all.
Mm.
There were some who couldn't get out at all.
Mm.
And they were very appreciative of, just seeing another person. Mm. In fact, they used to quite often nearly like to have a bit of a chat. And
it was a pity because
we had to move on. If you've got, in those days, we used to take out, 23 perhaps meals to various people. And there were two runs. one did one area and one another. But... we really didn't have time just to stop, spend too long. I think there were other groups who used to do more the visiting and talking to people and maybe even writing letters or posting letters for them or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they've still got a group like that. But
did the grammarians always work from the Miller's Point Centre?
Yes.
Oh. So you've always only worked since you've been in Sydney from the Miller's Point
Centre? Miller's Point Centre. Well, I do it in Chatswood as well, but the old grammarians just operate from the Miller's Point Centre.
And you also do Meals on Wheels for the Willoughby Council yourself?
I do.
But that's independently of the old grammarians?
Quite independently, yes. Mm. The old grammarians also used to make a donation to the... they had what they call an activity group members there at the centre, and we would give them a donation, $100 or something each year, to go towards a bus trip. The council wasn't nearly as wealthy as it is now in those days. And also, each year, not just our group, but the volunteers who worked at the centre, and we weren't the only group there, obviously. We just did it every second Friday, and still do. So there were other groups. For instance, there was a group of Jewish ladies, I believe, and also a Presbyterian group who used to operate in the early days. And they would do, you know, what other Wednesdays or Thursdays or what other days that they were able to come up with, you know, some time. At the end of each year, we used to give a Christmas party to the members of the activity centre, and the other volunteers, as well as ourselves, used to provide some food. One group did sandwiches. We had puddings. One of our members, the husband, actually had a contact with somebody who donated puddings, Christmas puddings. We actually made ourselves, our group, cakes and slices to be given out on the day. Pies were bought, also ice cream and sherry. Only allowed one glass, apparently. Or juices. And there was usually a some sort of entertainment, a volunteer, you know, concert group. They either sang and danced. They often started, you know, getting the audience involved in sing-alongs and that sort of thing. The police group, I remember, certainly were there several times. I think there was a lady called Mrs. Barber who she used to do the delivering, but she also was very, very much involved. In fact, I think she was the driving force for the Christmas parties. And she was always there. We used to have raffles. We also used to donate little gifts that could be used as Christmas presents for the men and women at the centre.
What sorts of things would you donate?
Little things. Well, it was a bit difficult for men, wasn't it? Socks and handkerchiefs or pins and
those useful little items.
Yes, just anything you could think of. Women, not quite so bad. I suppose, you know, soaps and perfumes or handkerchiefs, doilies.
So actually the grammarian's involvement in that community was broader than Meals on Wheels.
Yes, it was at that time. Mm. Yes, the Christmas parties no longer occur, and I can't remember how long ago they didn't. I think it was when the the council, as I said, became wealthier, and they do that sort of thing themselves. And there is far less people at that centre now. In that area, you know, there's been quite a bit of development, and I think councils have merged, perhaps, but they would get maybe 20 people these days to a meal in the centre, and there are a lot of bus trips and excursions all the time.
Mm. So in other words, the social services that people get through the council are much more sophisticated than they were
very much
when you first
began.
Yes,
very much more. The I'd say the standard of housing's changed too.
Mm. Can you talk about that a bit?
Because some of the places we used to go to 35 years ago were real hovels.
Mm.
Holes in the floor and broken windows and doors. It's improved tremendously over the period of time, 35, 40 years.
Even though many of the people who you would visit now are still living in very modest circumstances, aren't they? A lot of people around that area just in very small beds.
Yes, there are still people being on the list of, you know, receiving Meals on Wheels, I think. I know there's some in Kent Street, probably Cumberland Street, Love Fort, perhaps. Those are the areas we did about 3 years ago. And for some extraordinary reason, they then decided to send us out to King's Cross. Now, people who work, you know, who are not sort of right on the spot, don't seem to realise that that's quite a distance to go from Miller's Point, whereas we used to be more about around the area, and Ultimo and Chippendale. Haven't done Chippendale for quite a while.
But did the grammarians make the adjustment to the King's Cross and Woolloomooloo?
No, they didn't. No, we just do what we're told.
Yes, no, that's what I mean. Mm. You did cope with it.
Oh, with the adjustment to actually do it.
Because it's
quite... Find your way.
Find your way, and it's quite hazardous
driving. Yes, yes. And over the years, I mean, we've been through... we've delivered meals in the hotels in the city. Hyde Park Hotel, we had clients there. There was another big hotel, I can't remember the name, over in Market Street, I think. On the downside, there was the most awful place in... Pitt Street, the Cozy Hotel, where a lot of old men seemed to live in. It was very dark, you know, you weren't quite sure what you were going to come up against, and horrible little rooms. One day I was there, they brought a body out from one of the rooms, one of the residents that apparently died.
Wasn't one of your people?
No, it wasn't. We didn't go to all of them. There were just two or three, maybe. Yes.
Would these places that you're referring to, the Cozy Hotel, would have been like a boarding house, perhaps?
Yes, a boarding house. Yes, I don't know that there were any other way. There was any other way of them getting meals there. I'm not sure about that.
I see. Yeah, so a boarding house, but not with meals.
Yes, hotel, if you like.
Mm. And the other hotel that you mentioned that used to...
Hyde Park. There was also, there would just happen to be, you know, maybe one or two people in there.
What kinds
staying
of people
there.
Would they have been?
They were not, you know, a little bit better off than,
And so they were living
the ones in the Cozy Hotel.
The people in the Hyde Park Hotel were living permanently there.
Well, I suppose, yes,
then,
you know, they would go off the list. So whether they'd died or moved on or gone back to the country or whatever, I don't know.
So I'm just trying to get an idea of what kind of people they might have been. It could possibly have been people who, say, came to Sydney for medical treatment, for instance, and then stayed in the hotel.
Possibly.
Kind of thing.
Possibly. I think that happened. There's a big, I don't know that they call it a hotel or furnished apartments, serviced apartments on, I think it was Liverpool Street, the other side of Hyde Park. A really, you know, very nice looking hotel or whatever. And there were a couple there we used to deliver to for some time. I always thought they were country people who'd come down for treatment, but in fact I think they just lived there, and it was maybe more convenient because they perhaps had to visit doctors more regularly than they might have done if they were living elsewhere, you know, if they weren't so conveniently placed. We don't get a lot of information about the people, really. I mean, you can ask questions, but they don't necessarily tell you what's wrong. Some of them tell you without even being asked, of
there
course.
Are privacy issues, presumably.
Yes, and also that was the case for people who had AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time that we were told, you know, to wear gloves, and maybe that was a time that they knew there were people with AIDS that we were delivering to. But that's not the case now. We haven't been told to wear gloves or take any other precautions.
That was probably in the early stages of the appearance of the disease, when nobody was really quite sure how contagion, you know, the extent of contagion, how it could happen, and whether contact might.
Well, the privacy laws came up. That was the reason we weren't actually told that people had AIDS. Somehow or other, some people, they may have just assumed or found out some other way that that the client had AIDS,
but also there would, as thinking developed, there would have been no need to wear the gloves anyway, because you were not at risk by simply
doing. Yes, I suppose that's right. I've not heard of anybody even mentioning AIDS actually. For quite a long time now.
Mm. So, have you ever had problems getting enough people to volunteer through the grammarians?
Because oh, yes.
You actually take care of the roster now, don't you?
I do.
You're in charge. What's your title?
I'd a convener, I suppose, yes, the roster convener. I've been doing it probably for about 15 years now, and before me there were, I think, three or four other people who'd done it for possibly a similar length of time. Because they got too old, they got sick or whatever. The last lady who did it prior to me, her husband had a stroke, so she was, you know, looking after him at home, and it wasn't possible for her to carry on. We are having a lot of trouble these days getting enough people. Over the years, we have had friends of old grammarians helping as well. And
is that because you don't get, there are not so many new young women coming into the grammarians as formerly?
When I joined, it was a very old group. I probably was the youngest at the time. You know, there were people up to, actually, someone was 90.
Mm.
And a lot of the ladies who'd done it for quite a number of years, you know, found it difficult to give it up. And we found that we really had to suggest that maybe it was time to retire, because their driving was getting a bit questionable. We always had trouble. The group, as I said, the group was old, so there weren't young people, and we had a lot of trouble getting young people interested, because they were all too busy, you know, young children and so forth. Just more recently, we've had in the last 2 or 3 years, we've had a younger president. She's in her early to mid-60s. And she's been very successful at locating old... Well, we've got a list of old grammarians in Sydney from the school in Melbourne. And they've been able to draw in quite a few younger ones, which is good, because, you know, all the women who started doing Meals on Wheels in the 50s and 60s, a lot of them are no longer with us, of course, because the two I spoke to recently, one is over 80, and the other one, I think, is 80 next year. So
with the success in getting a few younger ones, locating them and getting them to join the association, does that mean that they then help out with the Meals on Wheels, or not necessarily?
No, it doesn't mean that at all.
No.
They join the association, and they pay a fee, a sub. Originally, we used to pay affiliation fees to the school, the main group.
Main school in
Melbourne.
Yes,
but we that haven't done that for a long time. But there are, there's probably, 80 on the list of old grammarians living in Sydney. A week or so ago, that they had a cocktail party in Darling Point. I think they got about 70 or 80, but whether that, I think that probably included partners, I suppose, because a lot of the older women there's a huge number of widows, the older women don't want to go out by themselves at night, particularly if they live on the north side, over to Darling Point.
Was that in somebody's home?
Yes, it was in one of the home of one of the old grammarians. She and her husband very kindly, allowed us to use it. It was just in the garden. But when I first joined, we used to have meetings in homes. One or other of the members would offer their homes, and we would have 4 meetings a year, lunches, and we had a committee, president, vice president, you know, treasurer, secretary, etc. And what we'd do is they would pay, the members who attended would pay $10, whatever, towards the lunch. And whoever donated food made up desserts, main courses, salads, whatever, they would be recompensed for, you know, the amount of money they'd spent on what they'd provided. But 10 years ago or so, we started to, the people were, as I say, getting older, people moving out of big homes and into retirement places or smaller accommodation. So they didn't have the room to accommodate 25 people. Since I've moved from Killara, I haven't had anybody. But we don't really have it. I don't think we haven't had it in a home for a couple of years now. We go to the Queen's Club one time perhaps, and we've cut down from 4 lunches a year to 3. And this younger group of women who are on the committee these days are organising functions in a way. We're going to the SH Urban Gallery later in the year, where we'll be seeing the Portia Geach exhibition. At the Queen's Club we can have a little room to have a quick meeting, but they're not keen about having having meetings there, but we have a nice lunch. And we've been to the SH Urban Gallery once before. I wasn't available a couple of times last year. They did a visit to one of the historic buildings down on the on the seafront there in Sydney. I can't remember which one it was. One of the a museum, I think. So they're getting people more interested, I think, because they're doing other than just having meetings and eating a meal.
But that's not
looking
helping
at other things.
That's not helping you with your Meals on Wheels.
No, it's
problem.
Not at all.
Well,
not
what
at
do
all.
You do? When
well, we have our next meeting on, I think it's the 4th of July or thereabouts. And it will be the first meeting I've been to where it's actually the annual general meeting where there's an election of office bearers, and the treasurer gives a report and so forth, the secretary. And I, when I'm there, give a report, but as I say, I haven't actually been to the annual general meeting for a couple of years. I seem to have been away. So I will be saying, now, you know, this is ludicrous, calling this old grammarians, when there are 2 old grammarians now.
And who are the others
and
then?
And the others are friends of old grammarians. Some of them have been doing it for quite a long time, in actual fact. And they are women who have been, pulled in because of old grammarians who were doing it themselves. And they were short of helpers, so they asked their next-door neighbour or someone they played tennis with or whatever to come and help. Mm. And they've very kindly done that. Mm. And, yes, there are 2... One who started many, many years ago but then moved away. Well, she's come back to Sydney, so she's started up doing it again. Others... a lady who's a guide at the Royal Botanic Gardens, and she was asked to join us because of one of our group who was also a guide at the Botanic Gardens. I think I mentioned to you last time that she got an award for her services to the gardens, the Royal Botanic Gardens, and she and her husband put on an art show in the Lion Gate Cottage for 11 years. And, yes, and she's the one who's going to be 80 next year. She hasn't been so well recently.
So how many people do you actually need to keep the grammarians responsibilities functioning within the Meals on Wheels. It's every second Friday.
Yes, and we only do one group, one run now. And so in actual fact, we two or three people. We always have to have a driver, obviously, and not a lot of people want to drive.
That would be another issue, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Because it's quite a hazardous area to drive in.
Yes, yes. Mm. People don't feel confident about driving in, well, any of those places, Ultimo, Chippendale, Woolloomooloo, King's Cross.
Very tight little corners and heavy traffic going every which way.
Yes.
One-way street.
Yes, yes.
No parking.
Yes, yes. Years ago, I mean, we couldn't even park near to some of the places we went to in Chippendale. We'd be a block away, so we usually had three people, a driver and two people who went in to deliver the meals. And anyway, you know, if you had a big, heavy urn with soup in it and other meals as well, the main course and the dessert and juice, it was not easy to juggle that.
Oh.
So you needed two people. And the other reason that for two people going in is that if you got there and person had had a seizure or fainted or was unwell for some reason or other or even dead, you needed help. Maybe someone stay with the person and the other woman go to the driver so they could contact the centre. We didn't have mobile phones in those days. Mm. But we did have a number for the centre. So if there was a phone and we needed help or directions as to what to do next, you rang the centre from wherever you were. These days, with the mobile phones, that makes it a little easier, I suppose. I don't actually have a mobile phone, but...
But when you do the deliveries now, you're saying then that you really needed two people together to be runners together.
It is easier. It is easier.
But mostly that's not the case now, is it?
We do try to have a driver and two people.
Still try
to do that, yes.
But with diminishing numbers,
with our group, if we don't have the numbers, we call on somebody from the centre. There's a man in the centre who does a huge amount of work for the... Miller's Point.
Right,
group.
A volunteer person.
Yes, yes. Hmm. And, I mean, he would do it every day if he was needed, sort of thing. Hmm. But he sometimes comes and goes out without one of our groups, yes.
Hmm. I just want to ask a bit about your background and also of the school. I was just wondering whether the Melbourne Girls Grammar School did itself have a bit of a tradition of giving in the charitable way?
Now you're asking me, aren't you? It's 40 years. I went to the school between 1942 and when I first went, the very first year I was there. Our school was taken over by one of the forces and we were all shot off to the country. We went to Marysville, which is about 70 miles out of Melbourne, for a year. And then we still couldn't get back into the school after that. I'm speaking for me personally because that was my experience.
I was really just wondering if there was a connection. There may not be in any direct way because as you're describing is that the grammarians group here really started as a social networking group that then wanted to do something more than just
lunches and that's right. So I can't actually speak for the school in Melbourne, the group there, because I did nursing and I wasn't involved with the old girls at all, and then I went overseas and got married and lived over there for a few years. So I didn't get really involved with the old grammarians until I came up to Sydney.
Mm. What about your own family? Can you tell me a bit about your family? I think you've mentioned to me before when we talked about it that just as a kind of a routine thing, various people in your family, your parents and so on, did do...
My mother did do a lot of work for the Eye and Ear Hospital in Melbourne. Yes, she worked for them for many years.
Volunteer work,
mainly in the canteen there. And apart from that, I suppose, I don't know that... I mean, that was her big service, if you like, to the community, that I don't can't remember that she did anything else. I also was a pink lady at the SAN here.
Oh, right.
Were at one stage in the 80s.
Mm. Until and the pink ladies are the ones who...
They're volunteers who...
help around the hospital.
Yes. Take people to X-ray or up to the wards or letters, flowers, deliver those to... And so whatever they... yes, whatever they need to do, yeah. And they had a little canteen there too, you know, that we used to make sandwiches and serve in the canteen up there.
And what about your father?
Well... My father was, he's a Gallipoli veteran, or was, and he also got himself involved in the Second World War and took troops to the Middle East and the Queen Elizabeth, I think it was. And then he got involved in the Red Cross. He was on the, he was as Deputy Secretary General of the Australian Red Cross.
Was that as a professional position or a volunteer position?
He was actually a sharebroker, and with JB Weirs. But he loved the army, and that's why he got involved in the Second World War. But with the Red Cross, I'm not quite sure how he got involved. I know his great friend was the Secretary General, so maybe he'd sort of, you know, said you should come and help out. But he spent, 10 months in India in the 40s, in the 40s. It would have been late 40s, I guess, middle to late 40s. I've got diaries somewhere, but can't remember all the actual dates. My people were, I think, were caring people, yes, mm. yes.
And would you say is that the word you'd use to talk about the grammarians, the ones who are involved?
Well, anybody who does, yes, make a time available to do Meals on Wheels or be or volunteer for any other cause, really. The SAN, the Hornsby Hospital, they have volunteers. There's a lot of things you can do. I think that's right, yes. We perhaps feel that we should, you know, we've had a pretty good life, so give something back to the community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was a nurse, you see. I trained at the Royal Melbourne Hospital, so that wasn't volunteering, but you didn't get paid very well, I can tell you, in those days.
It is regarded as a caring profession, isn't it?
That's true, yes. Mm. No, I have a social conscience, definitely, yes, that, you know, it makes... me feel I should do something for other people. And I think that's what probably most people feel who give up their time to be volunteers with whatever they do. Mm. You've got to put up with a lot of nasty smells and things. But it's very interesting where some of the people live. You know, in the first instance, when I started in Willamaloo, people lived behind shop fronts in William Street or up above shops, and down those little streets off William Street that now you don't know that you can even get up and down anymore. Some of the funnier things that happened is a friend of mine who was delivering to a hotel in the city, a hotel on the corner of Pitt Street. Went in one day, and this chap had accommodation there apparently, and she went up to the bar, that's basically where you went into the hotel, and said to the barmaid, she said, "I'm looking for Mr. Wright." And the barmaid said, "Isn't everybody?" She thought that was gorgeous. We have... people in King's Cross, for instance, you know, who have the most magnificent views of Sydney in some of the high-rises buildings that we go to. That always takes a lot more time because by the time you press the button and they let you in the door and it takes them a long time to get to press the button sometimes, you know, holds you back. There's a man who we go to in Greenough Street who I've never seen with a pair of trousers on. He wears a shirt all the time. That's it.
Just a long shirt.
Yes, just a shirt. Other lady, is another lady in King's Cross, she has the most beautiful manicured fingernails I've ever seen. Always painted red, you know. Lovely lady with bright red hair. And she always has a young man to have, they have a meal together. He's receiving the meals too, but he lives on a different floor. And he always comes and has his meals with her.
That's nice. Something. That's very sociable, isn't it? Because isolation's often...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Iris and Frank and another man in Darley Street. I'm not even quite sure what Darley Street address that is. He's a lovely man. He always offers us an apple. I don't know where he gets all the apples from, but... He's a very nice man. But it's really sad, you know, that they can't get out of these. A lot of them in very small, dark, stuffy rooms, sometimes very smelly. And then again, the ones that have the beautiful views, they're usually much better kept. Mm.
They're sometimes public housing tenants, aren't they?
There are. We have done, yes, in up near Goulburn Street, Liverpool Street, where the police academy or whatever it is, we used to go there for years in a building in Pelican Street, and we had a lot of, over the years, a lot of clients there, and we'd go up to the 15th floor, 13th floor, various people on those floors, particularly, I don't know why, but that was, for, Sydney Council or public housing.
Public housing. But they would, at that height, they would have the views.
Not so good as some of the ones in King's Cross. Mm. But I remember getting stuck in the stairwell there, going down. I thought I'd go from 15 down to 13, and I pushed the door. Went down the stairs and then couldn't get back in again.
Mm. And what do I do?
Do I walk 13 floors down or 15 or whatever to the car park? And I wasn't sure whether I could get out of the car park either. Fortunately, the lady who was with me wondered what had happened to me, so she came up to the floor that I'd been on. I think, you know, I'd gone to 15 and she'd gone to 13. I think she called, or I banged on the door, and she let me out. But it was quite frightening, actually.
Oh, I'm sure.
Quite frightening. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what would have happened if I'd walked down the stairs. Sometimes you find, yes, the lifts in those buildings aren't working, and there have been occasions when I've walked up several flights of stairs to deliver down in the Willoughby area because of, you know, it was quite a nice building, but it just so happened that the lift wasn't working, and so you'd have to go up maybe seven or eight floors. I didn't like doing that very much, but I didn't have to do it often. But, yes, there's, you know, it's interesting. We have quite a few experiences. We've been sworn at.
Have you?
Sworn at on occasions, a long time ago. Most people are very appreciative. Some of the houses, it's extraordinary how older people, and I call myself old now, but accumulate papers and rubbish. It just builds up and up and up.
Mm.
We even went to a unit in Macquarie Street for a while. In Macquarie Street, and there was a lady up there had a lot of money because she had donated to the Sydney Library, I think it was. There was a room named after her. But that unit that we used to go to in there was unbelievable. Similarly, she kept a lot of paper and stuff that she, I don't know why, but that she wouldn't know what to do with, I suppose. She had a carer who used to come in and stay with her sometime. She used to go down to, I think, have a meal in the hotel occasionally. Why we were delivering Meals on Wheels, I'm not quite sure. But... it was dirty. Mm. There were cockroaches in the kitchen, and it was very, very badly kept.
Mm.
Even if she had cleaners, which she did occasionally, I don't think they would know where to start to, you know, sort it out.
Mm. When you say old, and I count myself as old now, I didn't actually ask you what year you were born, and it's up to you whether you'd like to say how old you are.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm born in 1930. I'm 76. I'll be 77 in May.
Mm. So how long do you think you'll keep going with the Meals on Wheels? I mean, you look in fine fettle to me.
I don't feel that I would need to keep it, give it up. But I worry about the old grammarians bit, and I'm not quite sure. As I say, at the next meeting, I'll have to say, look, it is not old grammarians anymore, really. And I do think that you know, perhaps a few more people could give up a bit, some of their time. But it just depends whether I get any response or not. I have said that for a few years now, but haven't got anywhere at all. So if they don't, I would go on and do it myself, and I'm sure that two or three others would. But I do know one of the groups who deliver for us from Miller's Point wish to give it up at the end of this year. That's a younger group, and one of the girls is a daughter of an old grammarian because she didn't. She went to school here in Sydney, not in Melbourne. And I know that they are very keen to do other things. They've got children, you know, teenage children, a lot of school activities, and there are other ways they would like to do some sort of service, perhaps. But they've done it for, 5, 6 years or maybe even 10.
Mm.
But
it's just a fact of life that people have busy lives or move on in one way or another.
And there was quite a group of old grammarians who gave up about 3 or 4 years ago. There'd have been woman and her husband who did it just a very short run around Miller's Point area. They gave up, and then 1, 2, 3 others in a group who used to do it. Neither of them drove, so there was always had to be a driver, but one or other of them or two of them would help out as runners. But they all gave up all at once. Now, one of them was working, or two of them were working, one on, you know, night shift, and another one was a school teacher. One of them said to me the other day, look, if you're really stuck, call me, but give me plenty of notice. So I've got that in mind. But if we don't get any more volunteers from the old girls themselves, I don't know whether I would sort of organise a group or just say that I'd do it myself with a friend. You know, once a month or something.
Yes, and save bothering trying to organise people who...
It's quite difficult to organise the roster because the young group with school children don't want to do it through the school holidays. There's another lady who helps at one of the nursing homes in... Taramara or Gordon or whatever, somewhere up this way, fourth Friday of the month. So, you know, when I'm going through the dates, I have to, you know...
A lot of mixing and matching
to
be done.
Yes, yes. Well, fortunately, apart from when I'm away, I can sort of fill in any time, which is what I do. But not talking too much. I just don't know now whether we're going to survive or not.
Well,
I'll let you know.
That's an appropriate place to end. Thank you very much, Gwen.
Thanks.